WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Tuesday morning. And if I sound a little different, I apologize. I picked up a cold on the road while I was out and about. I actually started feeling it Wednesday night, Thursday morning. And then it just got a little bit worse. I think I got it from Phil Devitt. He was sick last week. I think you made me sick, Phil. I barely saw you last week, and I still got sick from you somehow.
Whatever I can do to ruin your life.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Anytime.
It's really good because it keeps me from having to hug a whole bunch of people at a paranormal convention. Oh, sorry, I'm sick. So, no, but it was guaranteed anyway. If you go to a convention like that, you come home sick. So this time I got to be patient zero for once, as opposed to normally just getting it from everybody else. It's a real thing. It's called con crud. People talk about it. Like, you come home from one of these large gatherings and you're sick. And it's because no matter how much hand sanitizer you use, you're shaking everybody's hands, you're hugging people, you're in close proximity to people, and people are coming from all over, it just happens. So I knew it was going to happen anyway. The hammerhead shark story is pretty interesting. So we've got hammerhead sharks. Well, a hammerhead shark. We've got a flamingo that's coming. We are getting all kinds of weird creatures that we usually don't see coming up around here. And if you missed the story, there was also an invasion of dragonflies at a Rhode Island beach. Like a black cloud of dragonflies swarmed the beach. Beachgoers actually had to get up, and this happened in Westerly. I hope I say this correctly. Missquamacut State Beach. One local person, one person who endured it called it a dragonfly apocalypse. Another called it an invasion. The swarm of dragonflies coming over the ocean and then landing on the beach. And it was the way that it was described is it sounded like noise coming from an airport. And before the people on the beach knew what was happening, they were getting hit with these dragonflies as they swarmed the sand. And they said you could kind of hear them like pinging off of everybody. Now, the dragonflies weren't being aggressive to humans because they're not. But humans were just in the way of this swarm of dragonflies that was coming through. Now, dragonflies are a great thing. Not only do people, you know, assign a lot of kind of metaphysical beliefs to them or think that they're good luck or whatever it may be, but dragonflies eat things like mosquitoes. So when I had a nice yard, nice big yard, and I would let the grass get a little bit high at the beginning of the season, because we had a lot of dragonflies in the neighborhood. And if I let the grass get high, you know, if I waited a couple extra weeks to cut it for the first time, we would get a lot of dragonflies. And then the dragonflies would help keep the mosquitoes away. Now, I still got sprayed to make sure that they really stayed away. But I would want to do all that I could to keep dragonflies coming into the yard. And I never minded them being there. I'd sit out at the back table, you know, sit out on the back deck with the table, at the table with the umbrella and eat my dinner and all that and just watch the dragonflies darting around the yard. And some of them were big. But I knew that they were there. They served a purpose and they never bothered me. They might land on me every once in a while and it's kind of fun to see when they walk around. Some people freak out a little bit because they are big and weird looking. But that's different. One or two flying around your yard is a lot different than a swarm coming at you when you're on the beach. So I can only imagine what that was like. You can see video of it. A lot of the different websites have video of it. You can see it at WCVB, WPRI. They both had video of it. But it's just be thankful it's not the hammerhead sharks that are swarming, right? 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are next on WBSM.
Hey, morning, Tim. Yeah, I'm glad you were talking about the usefulness of dragonflies, because we'd hate to have somebody go out there and try to kill them. They will. What do they eat, like 5 times their weight or 10 times their weight a day? There are those bugs that'll just, they'll eat mosquitoes like no tomorrow, and you want them. You don't want to kill them. And so, yeah, that's an amazing thing. Did you say that they came from Europe, or they came across the ocean?
So these ones, they did come up from the ocean, and they say that they come from the Gulf of Mexico or the southeastern United States, and they'll travel up the coast. So that's they did come from somewhere else, but not quite as far as Europe.
Huh. Yeah, I just wondered, maybe there was a storm that blew them up or something, but... you know, one of the big problems with climate change is that there are invasive species. You know, we've known that climate change is real for the last 40 years because armadillos were making their way up north because it's warmer up here than it was 50 years ago or 60 years ago or 80 years ago. And, you know, armadillos, I remember when it was a big deal when they were coming across the Texas border, but now they're getting into Kansas. So, you know, the idea that these polluters have poisoned the planet, they've changed the weather patterns, now there are bugs and all sorts of invasive species heading north, and you're going to want to beg for some dragonflies to kill them.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen stories come out every year about different insects that are coming up here, different spiders, spotted lanternflies, all these things saying, you know, not from this area usually, but here they come.
Yeah, we really got to do some planning. And, you know, they said that when, like 2016, when Trump got elected, the planet only had 3 years left, and Donald Trump had a 4-year term. Well, now it's 8 years later, and... we're seeing all sorts of real strange stuff, and there's still no active planning. The House of Representatives, under this phony Congressman Johnson, the House Speaker of the House, they still haven't done a budget, much less a budget for climate change. They haven't even done a regular budget. That's how phony they are. They claim they're conservatives. Well, a real conservative puts together a budget. And these guys are, I think they're trying to kill the country. They're trying to ruin the balance of trade. They're trying to ruin the exchange rate of the U.S. dollar so that Saudi Arabia can all of a sudden be the powerhouse, or Putin can be a powerhouse. Well, you want your money to be honest. You know, if you're going to go down to the gas station and get a gallon of gas, you want to know you're getting a gallon. You want to know you're getting high quality. And when you've got these crooks, like on the Supreme Court, that says that America doesn't need experts anymore. We don't need weights and measures. We don't need people doing standards for gasoline. We don't need standards for the extension cords in your house. You can just have the cheap plastic and that'll be that. You know, that's what these old boys are building up to. They want the free market. Just sell any kind of crap and you know, burn down the house with cheap crap. And they take no responsibility. They say, well, we were dumb enough to buy it. Right. So that's what's going on.
Well, thank you for the call. You have a good day.
Sure.
And now let's go to this line here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Oh, boy. Hi, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I've been better. Yeah, I don't believe the whole story about dragonflies migrating. Nineveh, if you go over to Nineveh or Misquamicut, you have to actually pass over all of the marshes that are there. And the marshes literally go down the coastline of Rhode Island, and all the beaches are obviously on the ocean. And then all the marshes could, you know, were follow that whole area. And there's always, this is prime time of the year, hot and dry for dragonflies, and they were going after, at least what was reported in Rhode Island, they were going after all the sand bugs that were coming up off the sand. So they obviously went where the food was. But, you know, I don't think this is the seventh sector of the apocalypse or anything like that. It's just another natural event. But,
yeah, they talked to a pollinator specialist, and she said in the story from WCVB, and she said that you know, this is just part of what happens. You know, it just so happened that they came up at a time when people were on the beach, that, you know, the these swarms happen a lot, and just normally people might not be around when they do.
Yeah, I actually, when I was a kid, I was afraid of dragonflies, and but since I had a off of my deck, I have a clothesline, and they come in and land, and I'm actually amazed at how many different variations there are. I mean, there's one, I don't see it very often, but it looks like a dragonfly, but its wings look like four flags. Like if you took a flagpole with a flag that was straight out, and I've gotten a picture of one of them, and it's such a cool looking, you know, it's almost like Leonardo da Vinci designed it. And dragonflies are really cool, and they don't bug you. You know, I've had them fly, like land on me or land next to me, and they just sort of look at you and keep going.
Yep. Yeah, they don't bite. They're not going to cause any harm. They don't sting. So let them be. Let them do their job.
When we were kids, the little ones we used to call sewing needles. So immediately, you know, the ones that you'd find in the woods, and immediately you'd be afraid of, like, that thing's going to sting you or something with that big long tail. But, you know, obviously that wasn't the case. So. Anywho, all right, well, listen, you have a great day.
You as well. Take care. And, yeah, the dragonflies get rid of some of the other things that are the problem. And I can tell you that I've experienced some nasty, nasty flies in my life, because I've dealt with those greenheads. The beach that I lived on, oh, my God, we had greenheads like you wouldn't believe. I would say that if, you know, a swarm of dragonflies would come in and take care of those, I'd take that any day. Those are just the worst. You'd get out of the water, and you'd have to get to the car or get back to, you know, walk back to the house, whatever it was. You know, there was multiple beaches in my neighborhood. Sometimes we would drive to a different beach. But you get out of the water, and you got to, like, cover yourself with your towel right away, because they would just dig into your skin. They rip your skin. Nasty little buggers. And, of course, mosquitoes living, you know, on the water. Mosquitoes were a big problem, so thank goodness for the dragonflies. And I tried to keep a lot of the bugs away. I would do, you know, I would spray different things, or I would have the citronella candles or anything. But the dragonflies and the lightning bugs were the two things that I always wanted to have around. And lightning bugs are definitely making a comeback. People have said that they're seeing more and more of them. You know, this is probably anecdotal, but they say, I've seen more lightning bugs in recent years. Like, they went away for a while, but now they're back. And I was having that conversation with my friends that had their lawn sprayed in New Jersey. And they said, you know what? Since we started doing this, we've seen more of them. So maybe they compete with mosquitoes for territory. And the fact that we are doing better of controlling mosquitoes is helping with bringing back the lightning bugs. And then I was, there were food trucks at this paranormal convention that I was at, and I went outside to get something to eat, and there were spotted lantern flies flying around, and everybody was freaking out about the spotted lantern flies. And they were annoying. They were super annoying. They would keep following you no matter where you went, but just kind of shoot away and move a few feet. And then if it comes back, shoot away again, move a few feet. But nothing was stopping me from trying those crab fries, which were not really as good as I expected. You know why? Because it was Pennsylvania, because it was the Mid-Atlantic. So they can't serve you anything with crab in it without dumping 10 pounds of Old Bay on top of it. I swear, in Pennsylvania and Maryland, they put Old Bay in the drinking water supply. Like, and you don't need to pile it on. A little bit of Old Bay is all you need. It's too salty to dump it like that. But anyway. My friend started a moonshine company in Gettysburg. So we went to do some sampling. We went to try some of their fine products. And that helped wash away the Old Bay taste. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemail on the WBSM app. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back in, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And while we were down in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, I was talking quite a bit with folks and letting them know if they want to come up here to visit, since I went down there, if they want to come up here to visit this week, this is the time to come if you want to try some Portuguese food, right? And I was talking with him about linguiça. Now, when you talk about linguiça with people, if they're not from the area, if they've never had it, it's hard to really explain it, right? But I was telling him about linguiça. I was talking with him about chorizo. And they said, you got to send me some. I want to try some. I said, all right, what am I going to do? Is I'm going to go to gas bars and I'm going to get some and I'm going to send it down to you. And you can give it a try. And they're like, this must be a new thing, right? Because I've never heard of this. This must be a new, I've been in New England a whole bunch. I've never heard of linguiça or chorizo. And I was like, listen, it's been over 100 years that we've been eating linguiça and chorizo. And traditional Portuguese sausages were first brought to New England in 1912. When Manuel A. Gaspar emigrated from Portugal. His acquired skills for making succulent smoked linguiça and chorizo was not lost over his travels to his new home in Massachusetts, and his original recipes are still being applied today in Gaspar's local North Dartmouth, Massachusetts factory. So what do you think of when you eat and you savor and you enjoy Gaspar's linguiça and chorizo? You think about tradition. You think about all of those old world flavors brought into the new world. Four generations of Gaspar relatives have operated and prepared and made and proudly served the sausages, Franks, the ground linguiça, the ground chorizo, the bite-sized Franks, the patty slices, and have even brought it into the new generation with turkey linguiça and chorizo as well. For more than a century, Gaspar Sausage Company has been recognized as the largest manufacturer of Portuguese smoked sausage in the United States. And it's, of course, perfect for you to eat here, but also perfect to send to folks who you know and love, who live in other places, who either can't get it anymore because they've moved away from home or who have never tried it. Gaspar's Linguiça is available at your favorite grocery store, or you can go to their factory store on Fonts Corner Road in Dartmouth, which I'm going to do, and I'm going to send them a little gift basket, not only to thank them for their hospitality, but also because how can you not have tried Gaspar's Linguiça and Chorizo? So I'm going to send it on down there, and I'll report back and let you know what they think. All right, we're going to go into the newsroom here in a moment. We're going to get all the top stories of the day from Phil. On the other side, we can get your reaction at 508-996-0500. As well as on app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll be giving way to Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. Chris is going to be broadcasting live from the Museum of Madeira and Heritage on Thursday morning in advance of the 108th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament starting on Thursday. So you're going to want to make sure you tune in for that special broadcast. Of course, you tune in every day, right? You love listening to Chris, but it'll be an extra special day on Thursday. Right now, though, let's go into the newsroom and get all of the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
By
Biden pushing for Supreme Court changes. Pennsylvania police say they were failed by the feds. And your summer wardrobe could include some movie history.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden is pushing for major reforms to the Supreme Court as he marks the 60th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act. Mark Mayfield reports.
While speaking from the LBJ Presidential Library in Austin, Texas, Biden called for 18-year term limits for justices and an enforceable code of ethics. He also proposed a constitutional amendment to limit the broad immunity granted to presidents by a recent Supreme Court decision. Biden argued that extreme opinions from the Supreme Court in recent years have undermined long-established civil rights protections. He cited the court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade and grant broad immunity to presidents. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Some Pennsylvania law enforcement members say federal officials failed to properly prepare them for the Butler Township Trump rally. Beaver County SWAT sharpshooter Jason Woods has told ABC News that his team was supposed to get a face-to-face briefing from Secret Service agents prior to July 13th. That was the campaign event where Trump was grazed by a bullet, but that briefing never happened. The local officials also reiterated that they sent photos of gunman Thomas Crooks to those in command prior to the shooting, and they never received a response. Illinois Sheriff Jack Campbell is asking for forgiveness following the deadly shooting of Sonia Massey. During a Department of Justice community listening session last night, Campbell said his department failed Sonia.
That's all she did. That's all she did was call for help. And I'm going to say something right now that I've never said in my career before, that we failed. We did not do our jobs.
Authorities say Massey was shot and killed July 6th by former Deputy Sean Grayson, who remains in custody after being charged with murder. Many speakers at the gathering called for Campbell's resignation. He refused to step down, saying he won't abandon the sheriff's office at this most critical moment. A study conducted in California finds that exposure to wildfire smoke leads to a higher risk of someone being diagnosed with dementia. The study was released on Monday at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference. Researchers believe toxic chemicals found in wildfire smoke and fine particulate matter are damaging to the brain. And an iconic piece of movie history just sold at auction. Bree Tennis with more.
Bidding wars can be fun, exciting, and sometimes a little spendy. Case in point, the gold bikini Princess Leia wore in the 1983 movie Return of the Jedi just sold at auction for $175,000. Carrie Fisher wore that for the film and then only for 5 minutes. In her book, The Princess Diaries, she says her favorite part of Comic-Con is seeing that beautiful metal bikini on men. I'm Bree Tennis.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox beat the Mariners 14-7 in their series opener from Fenway. The teams face off again tonight with the first pitch at 7:10. And Team USA added 8 more medals Monday, continuing to lead the overall standings at the Paris Olympics. Americans have now won 20 total medals, including 3 gold, 8 silver, and 9 bronze.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Starting out our morning with mostly cloudy skies, muggy conditions in these temperatures in the mid-70s. The humidity will continue this afternoon with warm temperatures around 80, partial sunshine. Overnight tonight, some clouds, some patchy fog. As we head into tomorrow, we'll be dealing with widespread showers, scattered thunderstorms, and temperatures in the upper 70s. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
Weather on WBSM is brought to you by SeaStreak. Whether it's a daycation or a staycation, get there with SeaStreak. Visit SeaStreak.com for reservations to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And I know we've talked about some interesting animal stories this morning. And, of course, there's always really good positive, you know, we always hear about animals saving somebody or somebody saving an animal, or we get cool stories like flamingos or hammerhead sharks showing up in the area. But of course, we also have way too many horrible animal stories that we have to share with you. And unfortunately, I have to share one of those with you this morning because some jerk or jerks did something that was absolutely reprehensible. And now the police are investigating. This comes from WPRI. After several chunks of rat poison were found precariously placed on top of the fences at the Vintage Pet Rescue Dog Shelter in Foster, Rhode Island. And they believe that those chunks of rat poison were placed there on purpose so that they would fall into the yards where the dogs are. The shelter wrote on social media, "We're still trying to process why someone would do this. I can't put into words how upset we are over this. Who would do this to a senior dog rescue? We're honestly blown away by this level of evil." The volunteers there caught one of the dogs trying to eat one of the rat poison pellets and rushed him to the veterinarian immediately. And the dog will be okay because they noticed it quickly, but will be on medication for the next 3 weeks. So what kind of horrible person would do such a thing? And they're gonna find out who it was. But if you know anything, you can reach out to the Foster Police Department. Just disgusting. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WPSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you?
I'm good. This is completely random, but I just have to tell you. I was at a family party over the weekend, and my cousin brought crispy chicken from the gas station that you talk about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, he opened it up. They had it was, you know, nice platter and everything. And I said, everybody had a little taste. He's like, "You guys have to taste this chicken." And I'm like, "Well, where did this come from?" And he said, "That gas station." I said, "Oh, my God, I hear that on WBSM all the time." And he's like, "It's really good." And now everybody's standing around doing like a taste test. And it was unanimous. I can't believe how delicious it was. It's so good.
You aren't kidding. Isn't it really? So, and that's what's funny is when people hear about where it comes from, they're like, "Oh, I don't know." But then once you try it, you're totally convinced. Crispy, crunchy chicken is the best chicken around.
And this was like bought, you know, a couple of hours. And it had sat for a little while, and it was so good. So I can't even imagine what it tastes like hot right out of the, you know what I mean, out of the oven or whatever. But anyway, I had to say that because I hear you, you know, raving about it, and I'm like, "Oh, my God, gas station chicken, how good can that be?" It's that good.
Well, thank you very much for the call. That's a great story. Thank you so much.
Okay, have a good day.
You too. And that is, I mean, I was just talking about crispy, crunchy chicken the other day because I was, like I said, I drove down to Gettysburg with my friend Stephanie and Scott. Scott is from Tennessee. And so when he comes up here, you know, he likes to try the seafood that we have. He loves lobster rolls. But he's also a connoisseur of things like fried chicken, you know, coming from the South. And so I always like to make recommendations. I'm like, "Oh, you got to try this. You got to try this." So I was telling him about crispy, crunchy chicken. And he's here for another week or so. And he's like, "Well, I'm going to go get some of that chicken." And Stephanie was like, "Well, I don't know how I feel about chicken from a gas station." I'm like, no, trust me on this. Nobody has, I've been talking about it for months here on WBSM. Nobody has come to me and said, "Oh my God, that chicken was terrible," because it's so good. Nobody's even called in to say, "It was all right." Nobody has commented online and said, "I think you're overhyping it a little bit." No, everybody that tries crispy, crunchy chicken comes back and says, "I can't believe how good it is." So check it out. Gas Express on the corner of Belleville Avenue and Tarkin Hill Road in New Bedford. You can also get it through some of the apps as well, the DoorDash and Uber Eats and all that. Got you. But everything there is so good. The chicken sandwich, the regular fried chicken, the boneless fried chicken, the fried shrimp, the honey biscuits. It you never would expect that the best fried chicken in New Bedford would come from a gas station, but it does. And that's the best part about it, is it's almost like this hidden gem. But even as we talk about it here on the radio and more people are discovering it, you still, it's not like you're going to wait a long time. But try it. If you haven't tried it, give it a try. Then come back and tell me what you think of it. 508-996-0500. We also have App Chat open on the WBSM app if you want to send in an App Chat message. Someone who sent me a message said Gaspar's does not ship during the summer months. Okay, well, I will remember that, and I will send it once they are shipping again. I mean, I'm going to send them down a bunch of stuff because they were so good to us. Not only letting us stay there, feeding us, letting us have some of the amazing coffee out of that coffee machine with Miele. I forget how they pronounce it, but it's Miele. Totally spoiled by that machine now. They also gave us some of the beans that they use in the machine to take home and use in my burr grinder. And when I woke up yesterday, took out all the old beans that I had in that little burr grinder, which I buy these $5 Walmart beans. They're very good. But I found them to be better than, you know, the $12 bag of Starbucks beans. But I cleaned all those out, put them in an airtight container and said, let me put these new beans in, these Corsica beans. And I put them in. And it really did make a great cup of coffee, but it wasn't nearly as good as it was coming out of their machine. But I can't spend $1,000 on a coffee machine. Can I? No, I can't. I definitely can't. And even if I could, I shouldn't. Should I? No, I definitely should not. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here. I'm going to take a sip of my... gets me through the day. Regular coffee. We'll be back in just a few moments. Oh, man. You got to love those 80s drum machine drum noises. Love that stuff. So as I mentioned, this weekend is the 108th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament in New Bedford, and Chris McCarthy will have a special broadcast of South Coast Now to kick off the big event. Chris will be broadcasting live from the Museum of Modern Heritage on Thursday, August 1st, with a full slate of special guests to get you ready for the feast and to learn about Modern history. Because the feast is about more than just food, fun, and Madeira wine, Chris will bring you the true history of Madeira and why the feast is such an important part of New Bedford and all the good the feast committee does in the community with the money that it brings in. So tune in Thursday, August 1st at 9 a.m. as Chris McCarthy broadcasts live with South Coast Now from the Museum of Madeira Heritage in New Bedford to kick off the 108th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament. And looking forward to that broadcast. It's always great hearing about that each and every year and hearing about all the good that they've done in the past year. 508-996-0500. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Well, we tease him a lot because we got him on the spot. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Is this John Sebastian?
John's cousin. Jerry.
Jerry Sebastian?
Yes. I was here many years ago in New Bedford, and I absolutely enjoyed it, and I'm back again. I'm actually technically over in Fairhaven right now on West Island. Beautiful, beautiful place. I think one of your talk show hosts lives over across on Wilbur's Point.
I believe he does.
Always a pleasure. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. You have a good day. 508-996-0500. If you want to call in and chime in, and it is great to be back. It's nice to get away for a couple days and nice to, you know, see some other parts of the country, but it's always good to be home. And, oh my God, it's always good to get in your own shower too. It's always my concern when traveling is how good is the shower going to be? And, you know, last year we went to the Gettysburg Battlefield Bash, and it's always a great event, by the way. Raised $20,000 this year to help with the Pennsylvania Wounded Warriors and some other charities as well. which they topped last year's total, which is always good. You want to set a new record each year. And so that's the important part about it. But when, you know, we went last year, it was at a different hotel, the hotel they'd been doing it at for years. And I was concerned because last year I didn't have my own room. I stayed with Stephanie and Scott in their room. They had a suite and I slept on the pullout couch in the living room and they had the bedroom. But the suites there have those special showers. They're handicapped accessible. So the shower was like a big room. Like you just walked in, there was shower, there were jets on the wall, and like you got hit with water from all the different angles. It was a fantastic shower. And I was like, well, I don't really know what the real showers are like there. But they didn't have it at that hotel anyway. I did stay at that hotel on Thursday night because I needed to get a room in the area and I knew that place. So I got a room there and it was a good, decent shower. But then when we went to the place where the event was, I've never taken a shower in a hotel where the soap didn't wash off me. You know, it might take too long because the water pressure is terrible. The pressure was decent. It was good. It was okay. And they had sliding glass doors because they just redone the whole hotel. So they put sliding doors in and walk-in showers and everything, which the doors leaked no matter what I did. There was water all over the floor. So sorry to the housekeeping staff. I put extra towels down to soak it up, but I made a mess. And I brought my soap from home, my Irish Spring, because I always bring that with me on the road. But it just would not wash off. It wouldn't even scrub off when I scrubbed it with a washcloth. Like, what is with your water in Gettysburg that it wouldn't wash the soap off me? I don't know. But it was nice coming home and getting in my own shower and getting the wash down that I'm used to. But I don't care about beds. I can sleep on anything. I can sleep on a floor if I have to. So beds never are a concern for me when I'm on the road. I don't care about beds. I don't care. I do have to be concerned now if there's a refrigerator in the room because I got to bring my medication with me and that's got to be refrigerated. But there's even ways around that if need be. So the only real concern I have is what that shower is going to be like. And people warned me when I went on a cruise for the first time. They're like, you're going to hate the shower on the cruise. Shower on the cruise is one of the best showers I've ever had when I've stayed anywhere. Thought it was great. Most of the time, I have a decent shower. But this time, I was just like, why won't this wash off? I don't get it. Anyway, but at least I was clean. Even if I'm covered in soap during the day, it means I'm clean, right? So 508-996-0500. We got a few moments here before we give way to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now, but I'm going to take my final break. We will be right back. And welcome back in. We have a few moments remaining. 508-996-0500. You can also call Chris coming up during South Coast Now. But we were talking earlier about this provision now in the state budget that the Massachusetts State Lottery will now be allowed to go online and you'll be able to buy tickets online and participate in games online. Stores are worried that it's going to hurt their business, but I don't see it because there's a physical connection to the people who go out and gamble. You know, you can give somebody an instant scratch off available online. It's not the same. They have to have their fingernail on the ticket. They have to physically scratch it. They have to scratch that itch, pun totally intended. And they've got their favorite stores because they know the people. When they walk into the store, they know the guy behind the counter. And they know that he's going to say to him, hey, this roll here is at number 150. I know how you like to only buy 150 to 250. You know, like whatever your system is, which, by the way, does not work. Your system is not real, but if it makes you feel better, keep going with it. And that aspect of it is, you know, like I said to a caller earlier, you can go to the liquor store and you can buy all the booze you need to make your favorite cocktail. But you're not going to make it as good as your favorite bartender makes it So you're still going to go to the bar. You're still going to sit down. You're still going to talk to him. You're still going to have one there. Maybe have two. Maybe three. And yeah, you could always buy the bottle and make it at home. And maybe you do. Maybe you have it at home and you indulge in that once in a while.